Last week we shared from John chapter 20, the resurrection passage. And this morning I want to go one more chapter to John chapter 21 and share the resurrection appearance of Jesus and his disciples on the shores of Galilee. St. John chapter 21, beginning at verse number 1. Later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellas, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to the disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to him to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. A woman who said she had been married for 30 years wrote to an advice columnist. She outlined her marriage to a wonderful man who had wonderfully provided for her. They had terrific children and grandchildren. They'd enjoyed good health all those years. They were friends as well as lovers. But she said, "I have just discovered that 21 years ago, on a trip to New York, he was unfaithful to me." And she went on to say how this had hurt her, what this had done to destroy the image she had of him and of their marriage. And she said, this is why I filed for divorce. Imagine 21 years later, ignoring the 21 years together and isolating that event from so long ago and making that the single focus. I don't suppose there's anything that constitutes more conversations than rehashing. Taking the past and dwelling on it, going over and over and over again, how it was, how it should have been, how we wish it were, and how it wasn't. I worked with a lady years ago who could tell you chapter and verse from years gone back, and stuff she would constantly rehearse and remember, bringing up the past, rehashing. I think one of the most encouraging things I've read recently was a statement by a French historian some 400 years ago. Everything is pell-mell, he said. Everything is out of joint. There's nothing but confusion on every hand. And in response to that, another French historian observed, yes, but our trend is not our destiny. And you see, it doesn't have to be. In this familiar scene that we studied today, the third post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to his apostles, Peter, perhaps out of anxiety, or perhaps for relaxation, has reverted to the familiar. He's gone fishing. He once made his living doing that. Maybe he's thinking, I'll make my living doing that again. And I'll do that for the rest of my life. And they'd been fishing all night. They hadn't caught anything. And the next morning, when they were discouraged, Jesus is standing on the shore. They don't recognize him. And he hollers out, fellas, have you caught anything? Typical greeting between somebody who's not fishing and somebody who is. And they said, no, we fished all night. Haven't caught a thing. And Jesus said, well, if you throw the net over on the right side of the boat, you'll catch some fish. And they caught so many fish that they couldn't pull it in. It was weighed down with so many. And at this moment, John, the one that Jesus loved, he always speaks of himself in that fashion, said, it's the Lord. And Peter, who had taken off his outer garment for the fishing, puts it back on, jumps in the water. They're only about 100 yards from shore, gets to shore, and there is Jesus. There's a fire. There's fish cooking. He's got breakfast ready for them. He says, bring on some of those fish that you've already caught and let's add it to what we've got here. And John records there were 153 fish that they had pulled in just a few moments. And suddenly the conversation centers on Peter. And it sounds so repetitive. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. And what we don't see in English is that there are two words being used for love. Jesus says, do you love me with the love and devotion due to God the Father? The Greek verb is agapeo. Do you love me with the devotion due to God? And when Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you, he's using a different word altogether. That word is phileo. And it's a friendship. It's a close relationship, an affection for one another that you'd have for a close friend. It's a different level of affection than the first one. And so Jesus asks again, do you love me with the devotion due to God? And Peter says, I'm your friend. And the third time, Jesus switches and uses the word that Peter had used. Peter, are you sure you are my friend? And he says, Lord, you know all things. Yes, I am your friend. Peter was the first one to positively, certainly, assuredly identify who Jesus was. They're walking one day to Capernaum, and he's asking them, well, what are people saying about me? And they're giving back the answers that they've heard people talk about Jesus and what they're saying about Jesus. And he says, but who do you say that I am? And I love the way the King James says it. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter's the first one that makes that declaration, that makes that affirmation. He blurts it out. You're the Christ. And can you imagine having made that declaration, that confession, not having the guts to admit that you know him, shrinking and denying and swearing because a little servant girl has said, hey, I know you, you're one of them. I catch your accent. And you declare, I tell you, I don't know him. And so Jesus here on the shore turns to Peter, and without reciting chapter and verse, without the rehashing that's so common and so prevalent, he says, I want to ask you a question. Do you have the devotion to me that's due to God the Father? The same kind of devotion that the Father in heaven has to me, God the Son. And in utter frankness, Peter says, no, but I am your friend. More than that, he doesn't claim. More than that, he doesn't say. But he affirms it the three times that Jesus asked the question. One time for each of the three denials. Not ever mentioning that Peter denied him three times that night, but now three times calling him to confess his faith. And he doesn't do it privately. The denials were done publicly, so Jesus asked him publicly. And Peter says, you ask me to confess that I love you with the devotion due to God. You know all things. And I don't love you that way, but I am your friend. You certain, Peter, that you do not love me with the devotion due to God? No, I am your friend. Then Peter, shifting to your terminology, are you sure you are a close friend? Yes, I am your close friend. And then Jesus says, tend my sheep, shepherd my sheep, feed my lambs. Meaning that a close friend can do that. Peter admits, I don't have the devotion that you asked for. But here's where I am, Lord. And Jesus says, on that basis, tend my lambs, feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep. Do you mean to say that a close friend could do that? Yes. Does he mean that the love Peter has for Jesus is not all the love that he would have him to have? No. But right now, that's where Peter is, and that's the affection that Jesus will honor. And so Jesus gives two simple words of direction. Not, Peter, you better get yourself in order. You better get your faith squared away. Not, Peter, you've certainly slipped a notch in my estimation. But the simple words, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And I love the last thing that Jesus points out to Peter in this passage. You know, Peter, when you were young, you pretty much went where you wanted to go, did what you wanted to do. Well, there's going to come a time when somebody's going to take you and they're going to bind your hands and they're going to take you where you don't want to go and they're going to stretch out your arms and they're going to crucify you. Now that symbolism is not expressed in those words, but the statement of having stretching forth the hands and having them girded was terminology used for the crucifixion. And Jesus is reminding Peter, as he reminds us, I'm not going to con you. I'm not going to make it sound easy. I'm going to spell it out in advance. It's going to be tough. And Peter, you'll be crucified because of me. And I'm confident that down through the years that Peter lived and ministered after Jesus returned to heaven, that love grew and grew and grew until the day when he was crucified, like his Lord had been. He could declare, I love you with the devotion due to God. Can you imagine that woman? With 21 years of happy marriage, 21 years of affirmation from the man of his love and their love, and she was willing to cast that all aside because she couldn't overcome one night of unfaithfulness. Now, when believers come to the Lord's table, as we are this morning, and remember the death of Jesus, we remember the kind of life that requires the word agape, the highest kind of love. It expresses God the Father's love and devotion to God the Son. And the best expression of that has been spelled out for us on the cross. I confess to you, there are times I come to the table when I would have to say to Jesus, I'm your friend. And you know what he answers? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And there are other times when I know I love you better than that, Lord. But where we are at that moment, honest with our Savior, he'll honor that. We don't have to be super Christian. We don't have to go into a telephone booth, take off our shirt or a jacket and expose a big red S on the front. He'll honor where we are and what we are and what we have. And there isn't any need for Jesus to reestablish the facts. Peter was more familiar with them than anybody else was. I'm more familiar with me than I am with anyone else. And there's no reason for Jesus to say to Peter, that was a critical point in my life when everyone else was jeering me and turning on me, and you identified me as disciple, as Messiah, you knew who I was and didn't stand with me. There was no need for him to say that. He simply turned to him and says, I'm going to trust you more in the future than I've trusted you in the past. In disregard of the record? Oh no. In recognition of the fact, we're going on from here. That's behind. No rehashing. Do you want to go on? Then let's go. And do you honestly think the Lord will deal differently with us, deal differently with you, than he did with Peter? Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Where you are with me at this moment, Jesus says, I can use you. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me.